The epistle today is probably the most important epistle of the entire year. Let us try to listen to this with all the determination and concentration possible, because here in this epistle is the total message that we need in order to save our immortal souls. So let us all try to listen without distraction. It is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we now know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then we see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What wouldst thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. first thing this morning, I would like to ask you for your very special prayers for our beloved Mrs. Iva Roy, who it seems in all probability that yesterday she suffered a slight stroke. She's in the emergency room, I think even to now, and I think we all need to pray for Miss Iva.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Into the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless her. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Miss Iva, it was the one who first introduced me seriously into the entire traditional program. Back, I think it was 1978 or 79. I'm deeply indebted to this wonderful person, this wonderful woman. So please keep her in your prayers. She's 90 years old to be very soon, but nevertheless we still want her around because her image is so important. I have many things to bring to your attention this morning. Of course, first of all, that there will be catechism class and vespers and benediction today. Today we start what has been called and labeled through the years Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras has its roots in religion, and if attended to in the proper light, Mardi Gras is all right, it's fine, it's wonderful, and you should enjoy it in your homes. A little party on Tuesday would be quite nice for the children. Because Mardi Gras, after all, what does the translation of the word? It is Fat Tuesday. When we all enjoy a little extra to eat, a little bit of feasting, because the very next morning we place ashes upon our heads. So, let us follow in the best traditions of the Roman Catholic Church and religion. Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday. It is not a holy day of obligation. However, we strongly advise that as many as can to try to go to Mass on Wednesday of this week. Masses will be here in the church at 6 and 8 in the morning and 7 in the evening, with distribution of ashes at each Mass. We will talk about the ashes, again, the little packets of ashes, next Sunday. Thursday is the first Thursday of March. Holy Hour is listed in the book, here in the paper. Friday is First Friday. Beginning Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we will have Stations of the Cross and Benediction every Friday during Lent. I know that for the majority of you, it is quite impossible, or at least very difficult, to come to the stations every Friday. But for those that live close by, I would like to urge you to try to come to stations on Friday evenings. It's a sacrifice, I know that. It's a sacrifice for all of us, I know that. But we have to give that, whether you or I like it or not, because it is that vitally important that we sacrifice whenever we give it an opportunity. We'll talk on that in a moment. First Communion class, and so on. Now, in this morning's bulletin is attached a little purple sheet, which most of us know about, and it has assigned for us the daily readings during Lent. Those with families, or anybody, yes, must try. We urge you, please, to do this in the way that it is recommended to us. That it's sitting at the table at the main meal when the entire family is gathered together, that we, the head of the family, the father, not the youngest child, but the father. This is a serious moment, and that the father should try to read this in a way that is intelligible to the children and everybody present. It is a proclamation for that day of what has transpired. And it's very important that we do this correctly. So that. Also on the purple sheet, I will not read it to you, you can read it for yourselves, are the usual instructions concerning the observance of Lent with fasting and abstaining. Wednesday is a day of all-day solemn fast and solemn abstinence. That means no meat whatsoever on Wednesday. Now, the laws of fasting, I'll let you can read that for yourself, and the laws of and the requirements for abstinence is also on the paper. So please try to do this according to the instructions that are presented to you on the page. The one thing that we encourage, that we really insist upon, is that you do not try to go beyond the limits of what is normal. Lent is a time of abstinence and penance and reparation. We know that. But do it in such a way that there is still some joy in it, because as we will speak in just a moment, the work of saving our immortal souls is not a work of drudgery. It should not even be spoken of as a duty. The work of saving our immortal souls has to be kept as the most important of all the importances that we have to confront us in our daily lives. Nothing at all should be put ahead of the work of saving our immortal souls. Nothing at all. I will, just for the sake brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. These are dreadful words. They are totally dreadful. And later on, in a moment, he says, and if I should give myself up to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. May I repeat that? It profits me nothing, which means, in plain, on the street, everyday language, I will lose my soul, I will go to hell. It's as plain and simple and as raw and as ugly as that. Now, to speak of this word charity can be sometimes, maybe even mistranslated or misinterpreted or whatever, but in any event, the word love comes out in that word. Now, but beloved people, I am fully aware, only too much aware, that today, in our beautiful day and time, in the history of mankind, never has it been so beautiful, has it? That in this day, in the history of mankind, this beautiful word called love has been degenerated into something that is as ugly itself may be. It is so degenerated, it's so street polluted that you even almost are ashamed to use the word in any measure. And yet it is the most important word in our entire vocabulary. Love here does not indicate or presume the type of love, L-U-V, love, you know, that is promoted and presented to us out in the world. But love here means charity, which we read about in the epistle this morning. And what is charity? Yes, we know, I'm going to reverse it. Understand the charity, and you understand that charity is also understood that we go out and do charity outside and be nice to our fellow man, and we bring food baskets, and we bring clothes to the poor, and all that. That's charity. Yes, of course that's charity. But charity, yet in this case, means that it has to go beyond that, that we have to not only just like the person that we bring the food to, we have to love that person. And we have to also, that person who hates me and who calumniates me and who says all kinds of evil things about me, that I can still get on my knees and mean it. Dear God, have mercy on that person. Bring that person to heaven when it comes time for him to go. That's charity. However, we must go a step further in this altogether, because at that case, we are loving that person as we love ourselves, as I love myself. But charity here means primarily our love for Almighty God. How much do we love Almighty God? Remember, and go back to last week's bulletin, I hope you still have it. Remember, in last week's bulletin, we reminded ourselves that we don't really promote the idea or the custom of individual resolutions. I will not drink during Lent. I will not curse during Lent. I will say the rosary every day during Lent. I will be more devoted in my prayers during Lent. As far as it goes, those resolutions are wonderful. But let us ask ourselves here and repeat this. I'll repeat it for the sake of emphasis. If I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm speaking of the salvation of your souls. I'm speaking of the salvation of my soul. I'm speaking of the salvation of the souls of the monks and the nuns. I'm speaking of the salvation of those who want to be served, who desire to be saved, who desire to be saved. And for us, my dear people, because of that one thought, I will never consider myself as being outrageous. My beloved people, while we are taking care of not cursing, of not swearing, of not saying our prayers, and so on, what about the rest of me? I'm not cursing, I'm not swearing, and I'm saying my rosary, and I wouldn't dare miss coming to church, just wouldn't dare during Lent. But what about the rest of my day when I am amongst those who have to live by me? I'm the usual ugly, disobedient, proud, hard to get along with person that I've always been. If I should speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have charity, it profits me nothing. These are serious words. Of course, my dear people, penance is difficult. Who said it wasn't? That's why it is labeled penance. Of course, reparation is difficult. That's why it's labeled reparation. Of course, not a mortification is difficult. That's why it is labeled mortification. There's one thing we have to keep in mind, and keep it well in mind, you and me. Remember when I say to you, when I'm preaching at you, when you think I'm preaching at you, oh no. You know what? Trust me. I'm preaching to me. And if I say about the resolutions to you, I'm saying about the resolutions to me, and so on. We're all in this, and the salvation of our immortal souls comes before all of the importances that we know of. No matter how much we have gained in this world, how much treasure we have put aside for ourselves in this world, no matter how popular we become in this world, if I lose my immortal soul, all the treasure, all the popularity, all the everything else that I have accumulated in this life will be right where I will be able to see it and look at it for all eternity from within the flames of the fire of hell. And my mind will be completely consumed. If we think that we are full of hate now, if we think that we're full of anger now, we do not know hate, and we do not know anger, and we do not know jealousy, and we do not know envy, and we do not know all of the other things that we dread so much today. Hell. I think sometimes that we overemphasize the fire, the visible fire that we portray of hell. I think we overemphasize that. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I don't know. I haven't been there. The world worst fire, the hottest fire, the most dreadful fire will be the fire that's in my mind. And that fire, my beloved people, will be there, never losing its heat, for the rest of eternity. These are dreadful words and uncomfortable words. I know that. And when our Lord said, or when God said, our Lord, we must love the Lord our God with our entire mind and heart and soul and everything, he meant precisely that. And if my egotism, if my ego wins every battle in this life, and if my ego conquers every opposition in this life, and if my ego pushes over everybody that confronts me or challenges me in this life, my ego in hell will push me down and stomp on me for all eternity. That's why we bring these things up today. That's why the church, in her wisdom over the years, has put that fantastically beautiful epistle that we've just read. It doesn't matter how much faith you've got. It doesn't matter how many rosaries you say. It doesn't matter how many prayers you say. Doesn't matter how many, all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things you do or say. None of them, not one single rosary, not one single Hail Mary can be looked upon as a passport to heaven. I give my body up to be burned. It profits me nothing. When I was a child, he says, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. But now that I am a man, I have to put away the things of a child. The matter of saving our souls, my beloved people, must never become a chore. You see, this charity that we speak of, the more we love God, the more profoundly we love God, the more complete are we in giving of ourselves to God. And the more we give to God because we love him, the more we give to God, the more we look for ways to give to him. We are the ones that are dissatisfied with our own performance. Those of you that have lived the beautiful married life, do you just sit back for a moment and think of those lovely, lovely days when you were courting and your love was as fresh and beautiful and as crisp as it could be. And that love that you had in your hearts at that time for the beloved was so powerful. It went with you like a shadow. You couldn't get away from it. It went with you wherever you went. Whatever you were doing, that love was there. And all you had in mind was a way to organize yourself in such a way that you could give more and more and more and still more to your beloved. Never, not once, did you feel satisfied with what you were giving to your beloved. That's the kind of love that I speak. It never was looked upon as a duty. Nobody told you. The beloved did not tell you, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. You kept one step ahead of that beloved in giving, in doing, in presenting, in exclaiming. That's just a parallel. That's the kind of love that we have to have for our God who made heaven and earth. And as I said a while ago, in these beautiful, beautiful days of ours, I've never seen better, have we? This is my prayer, and it should be yours as well. Dear God, make haste. If you don't hurry, dear Lord, when you come here the second time, it is entirely possible that you will not find any faith on earth. Isn't that true, Lord? Make haste before it is too late. We are at that point. I don't need to present to you the headlines. I don't need to do that. You know that already. Where is God in the world? He's only in the hearts of a handful of people, wherever located. Just a spot here, a spot there. And even there, we find the pauperism that exists today amongst those who love God. I can only speak for those of you who grace us with your presence. I'm never fussing at you, never. I wouldn't dare do a thing like that because you are not deserving of a fussing at. So each one takes care of his own little place. I speak only to you and to us. Your work and our work. It isn't just our work. I'm saying it's your work too. And that work, my beloved people, is to do all in your power to work for the kingdom of God. I don't mean going out and converting and debating and arguing and fighting and this. I don't mean that at all. That means nothing. Those are more tinkling cymbals. People will give their lives to be burned. In the solitude and the silence of your hearts, you've got to save souls, beginning with yours and mine. In the solitude and the silence of your hearts. That's what you have got to do. And what I have got to do. And you must pray also, my beloved people, to be given the ultimate grace of understanding the importance of that work. I will conclude. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. If I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Please kneel and I'll give you my blessing.